Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Doesn't sound like the usual mindless, boring, getting to know you chit chat. This sounds like you actually have something to say.
Well, maybe.
Why are we having this conversation? What the hell am I doing here?
Now's the good stuff.
Here we are, episode 3 of.
Hello.
Here we are. wait for your turn to speak. Here we are, episode 3 of Get to the Good Stuff. And my guest this week is stand-up comedian, friend.
Hello.
Oh, that's DJ. Nice.
DJ. Now, yeah.
Northerner.
Yeah, sort of. Midlander. Sort of, well, but, you know, North. Scottish dad and everyone, my mates are northern, so I'll take that.
Alex Haddo.
Hello.
How you doing? You're
now
right?
I can say hello.
Yeah, you can say hello now. Well, you know, you're aware how the podcast works?
I'm ready.
We cut the shit. We get straight to it.
Nice.
What's the worst lie you've ever told?
This is absolutely horrific. I had an ex-boyfriend that we were always on and off, you know, yeah. Very tumultuous, very yeah. Toxic, yeah. Very dramatic.
Yeah.
And look, lockdown hit people hard, all right? Yeah. And we were not together and he'd gone back up to his family home in the north.
Right.
Oh, I've actually got adrenaline telling this. Anyway.
Whoa, that's a good one, Phoebe.
I'm so excited. And
We've got one. Like fishing. We've got a big one.
And basically, he said he was away for months, you know, yeah. And you couldn't obviously pull anyone or go out or do
yeah.
anything.
Yeah.
And I hate dating apps and things. So it'd yeah. been a long summer. And then my best mate knew that I wasn't over it and stuff like this. Yeah. And he came back to London and I was really, really, really pissed on a Zoom like quiz thing, you know, like right at the start of okay. lockdown. And anyway, he was like, I'm back. And I thought it'd be a great idea at 1 a.m. to go out and meet him. And anyway, the next morning.
Uh-oh, drunk.
My friend at like 10, half 10 the next morning, she was like, do you know what? I'm really proud of you last night. You know he's back in London. You got really pissed on a Zoom quiz and nothing happened. And I went, yeah, nothing happened. And that's the worst lie I've ever told, because for about 12 hours I told her that nothing had happened, when in fact I had cycled to Tower Bridge and given him a blowjob on the bridge. Like, I was urgently like, I need...
On a bicycle. On a bicycle.
On a Brompton.
Oh, God.
Politely folded my bike up.
Folded up the bike first.
Oh God, I don't know. I think I was desperate for the.
Also, wait, what? You gave him head?
Yeah, and what? he was like, babe, please let me just take you home. And I was like, no,
no, get it out. I want it now.
Now.
Didn't even speak. Didn't even hello. Just go off the. Took the crash helmet off.
Yeah, it was kind of like yeah, the. Yeah, it was yeah, kind of the equivalent yeah, of this yeah, podcast, yeah. But with head.
It's handy. I've already got knee pads on. So Let's crack on.
And
on
honestly,
London Bridge.
On Tower Bridge. And my friends.
That, you're pretty rude.
I know.
There's a tour going past.
Yeah.
And here it is, the famous Tower. Oh, for God's sake.
And then my friends now say there's a blue plaque on it. And honestly, for about 12 hours, I told her that nothing had happened. And then I went, thing is, I cycled to Tower Bridge and gave him a blowjob. And she went, oh my God, imagine. Imagine if you did. And I was like,
I don't need to imagine.
Oh, she was like, oh, Alex, you're so funny.
She was like, imagine. I was like, well, I don't need to imagine it because I did it.
Then did you just cycle straight home or did you then
stay
out?
I did go to his, but I didn't stay the night. I said to my housemate as well, because I was so pissed that I just decided, you know, when you think like, oh, this is logical.
Yeah.
I just went, I'm just bobbing out to the shop. And obviously after an hour, she was like, where the fuck are you? And I was like, I'm at his house.
Oh, so where did he go back to? Where is he?
It wasn't that far. I was like, yeah, it was just a 20-minute cycle. Not that far from Tower Bridge.
I love the way it's the bicycle. It's like sort of like, it's like, I imagine you sort of going there with like a matter of urgency to give a blowjob. Come on, I've got blowjobs to be done.
He was like, oh, God. And like, you know, men love blowjobs. I mean, groundbreaking stuff here from me. Newsflash.
Yeah.
Even he was like, not here. And I was like, here.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, you've got a good story out of it. Imagine his story.
Imagine the men that don't believe that.
Yeah, yeah. No, honestly, mate, London Bridge.
She came down.
She's coming up like Mary Poppins.
And she was desperate to suck me off. But they were like, sure she was, mate. He's going out at 12, like, oh, just going to nip and see her for a quick drink or whatever. And like, she sucked me off on the bridge. No, she didn't.
So what did have you told, does the friend know now?
She knows now, yeah. But that was the worst lie that
When you originally said the lie,
yeah,
and then you told her the truth, and said, "Oh, what you like?" Did you just sort of think, "Oh, I might just"?
I thought about it, but I think I was in quite a pit of doom the next day.
Oh no!
So I sort of for a second sort of went, "Yeah, no, I did though." And she was like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "No, I did." So
what? I don't know why this matters, but this is what I'm just thinking at the time. What sort of time of year was it? Was it
like summer?
Summer, okay.
Okay.
In my head, for some reason, I'm imagining some like gloomy.
Same. Day. I think it's because it's raining today, so I'm picturing this.
Yeah, to be fair, why does it make it more bleak if it was like, horrible weather? But it's true. It was
with
summer,
like an anorak just hitting you.
Yeah, I think it was like August, like peak.
I've got this mate, right? I won't name him, right? But he told me about his first ever blowjob, right? Yeah. And he's from like Wolverhampton, which sounds a bit
bleak. The accent.
to start. Ooh. Not forget it's Wolverhampton. I've never
shook
been there.
Me
but,
off.
Yeah. But.
Oh, go on, love. Yeah. Shook me off.
That's generic Northern.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There you go. That wasn't me. That was Phoebe. So.
Oh, that's right. Gosh,
that is. All right, that blowjob. Is that it?
That's better. Yeah. My housemate's from Wolverhampton. I should be better at this.
There you go.
Yeah.
But anyway, so his first ever. And he said it was in a field, right? And he said,
quite nice.
But he said the girl kept having to stop because a fly, because his dick smelt so much.
No.
A fly kept trying to land on.
Oh.
And he said it was a gloomy day in Wolverhampton. And I just imagine like a funeral procession going, bring out your dad. Like a really depressing scene, or just like, oh, how gloomy is that?
Honest to God, I think that's made my story seem romantic.
Oh, summer. It was a lovely summer
in
day.
In comparison, yeah. Like a lovely, you know, a sightseeing blowjob.
But yeah, this is a gloomy. I love the fly. You're just going, swatting it away so you can carry
that
on.
It's the most horrific thing I've ever heard. And I I've just told you about a desperate blowjob on a bridge.
Yeah, yes. I didn't think that Alex would have the higher ground after that story.
That man needs to have a long, hard look at his life.
He does. He does. I will. I won't,
says the
I won't
woman
name him.
Performed fellatio on a bridge.
Yeah. But what? So it was. Is it night? It was night time.
It was night. It was like, yeah, the dead of night.
Well, I still imagine Tower Bridge is pretty busy.
I think the haziness definitely helped. I don't know. I don't remember there being anyone there, but I'm sure that somewhere someone's on a podcast being like, do you remember that time we went out for a lockdown walk and like some woman was sucking a guy off on Tower Bridge? And they'll be like, yeah, did we definitely see it? Yeah, we definitely saw it, yeah. And she had a fold-up bike with her, and he was like, oh, you know.
Fold-up bike.
He was on an e-scooter as well.
He was on an e-scooter. You left that bit out.
Like, not on it for the act, but he had
I like the
arrived
people walk past. I mean, it's disgusting, but good for the environment.
Yeah.
At least
No Ubers, you know. Yeah. Yeah. A very eco-friendly blowjob.
There's a good carbon footprint there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I mean, was that like that proper shit face? Then that was.
Oh yeah. I mean, I definitely shouldn't have been cycling.
Was you? I mean, it's just a bit of a dip. Was you in a bad place at the time, or was you just?
No,
or was
like,
you just sort of like
not bad. Not a bad place. Just more like peak lockdown. You know, you're starting to go a bit spare.
Yeah.
Starting to get a bit of cabin fever. So the only thing for it is to
suck off your ex-boyfriend on the bridge, I guess.
Lockdown helped because like the streets are pretty empty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, so in many ways, yeah. Classy.
He's got the pandemic to thank for that.
Yeah, there was nothing landing on his penis. So I feel like
just COVID.
I feel like that's a success, to be honest.
Yeah, you want to get one in Wolverhampton? It's much different up there, the way they do their outdoor ones.
His penis was clean, so I feel like that, you know, that was a success.
Do you still speak to this guy?
No.
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 It went well then.
It was one of those ones where you can't speak once it ends, you know. But we'll always have Tower Bridge.
But how long did you keep the lie going for?
Only that day, I think. Only like that. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of my friends that don't know, and they'll be hearing about this on this.
I'll tag them.
My two best mates sort of know. Well, they do know now. And I couldn't. I know they would. They knew something was up because I didn't go to the barbecue that we were having the next day, like in the garden. And I was like, I'm in a pit of doom. And then when she rang me on the way home, and I was just like, yeah, I did this. And she went, imagine. I was like,
you and the guy who sent the first text the next day?
It was like I text him being like, oh my god, I can't believe I did that. And he was like, yeah, you're mad.
Yeah. I think that's the worst thing for me. When you do something stupid, I've not sucked off anyone on the bridge.
Yet.
I mean,
hey, there's always there's always time.
I'm still young. but I think there's always that thing next time. I don't even have to do something stupid to just do that. You know, that text the next day.
You've
got to text people.
You know when you've got to do like the sense check?
Yeah.
Like, was everybody else drunk lately?
That's horrible. I gave up drinking for 6 months.
Yes, I remember. Yeah, I was with you when you had your first.
That's it.
I'm a bad influence.
I think. It's not so much what I do. I think everyone says, "Oh, you're fine when you're drunk. You're a laugh. It's fine." But it's just me. My head the next day is just,
oh yeah.
What did I? Because I talk quite a lot anyway. But a few beers,
yeah.
Fucking shut up.
Oversharing.
I hate it.
I hate those people where, you know, they'll be like cool on a night out like this, and then they'll be like, "I was absolutely shit faced last night." You'll be like, fuck off.
Yeah.
It's like telling people, about blowjobs on bridges to people I've barely met, and like, you know, kind of going into stuff. And again, I'm quite a good drunk. Yeah. It's not that I'm never ever doing anything, you know, aggressive or bad or like irreversible. Well, apart from a blowjob on a bridge, but like, but you know, it is those people where like they were absolutely fine. They never embarrass themselves, and I'm like, what's the point? Have a Diet Coke.
I mean, some people go, oh, I'm gonna have to go home. I'm just wasted. You think?
Yeah.
Wish like, I was like you.
You've stood in the corner like a fucking statue for two hours.
I mean, once I was so drunk that I was my mates caught me because we have to get Jack. I was much younger because I was in like a garden party and I don't know what I was trying to do, but I was ripping my own pants off with a claw hammer.
Ripping.
I had a hammer.
No.
I don't know why. I don't know what happened. I don't remember doing it. Well, I was only young.
What happens in your brain where you're like,
I don't know.
Do you know what?
This is how I'm so glad I've got into comedy now, because for like a lot of my youth, I just had that. Do you know that thing where I had no expression? So I was just always like, I was unbearable to be around.
That
blood goes unbearable to be around the party. Because look at me, attention seeking. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I was that guy.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Especially when I was younger, when I was like teenager, I was really into Jackass.
I'm glad we're friends all that now. Sort
of, yeah, no, oh no. That's what I mean. I'm so much more, now I've got like I can vent it.
You know what
I
mean?
I'm all right. But I used to be, it's like when do you ever do it when there's like, when you meet comedians and they do this thing where they're like, they're testing their material on you.
Oh, yeah. I hate that.
And you're like, I think I know what's going on.
I never do that.
And they start talking.
Yeah.
So they start talking in that sort of, them sort of patterns and like finish their joke. You know, well, that deserved more.
Oh! And they go into bits and you can see them doing the bit. And you're like, you know, I'm just out for a beer with you, right?
I don't
ever
used to happen
do that.
So much when I first started working here. I thought I was just having a normal conversation with people. No. Like, hey, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And after a while, like, they'd start telling me a story and I'd do like, you know, you interject because that's how stories work. Yeah. You're like a bit of back and forth. But then I realised it was just a bit.
Hey, why can't you get a normal coffee nowadays?
Yeah, yeah, they're what? Waiting. Who are you talking? Waiting to carry on their bit.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, anyway, that used to be me.
But now you're actually a comedian, so it's nice.
Now I can do it on stage.
Yeah.
It's like when, you know, and I think someone said it before, when you get like someone brings a friend, when there's like, because when you get comedians together, I realise we don't actually that much of a lot. It's just normal. How was the traffic?
Oh yeah.
And there's always like one guy who like turns
it's
up like
doing the, yeah.
yeah yeah That's a bit awkward.
Same off stage as on. Yeah. You're like, all right, pal.
That's a bit, that is a bit awkward, that one. All right, should we move on to question two?
This is a great podcast, isn't it?
All right, isn't it? I think this is the good way to do it, don't you think?
Yeah.
Just getting the dirty, gritty. Get out of the way first.
And you
set the bar there, don't
you?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a good way to do it. Oh, do you know what? My second question, though, was going to be, this might be the same answer. I don't know. You tell me.
Okay.
What's the most drunk you've ever been?
So, it is a similar vein. I'm not doing myself any favours.
It does lead in nicely, doesn't it? This worked out lovely.
This is, honestly, again, a story where people have been like, what? And there's a theme here. But the backstory is, okay, should I use his real name? I'll use his real first name because that's fine.
Go on then.
So there was a guy called Josh.
Oh, actually, no, use his surname.
Okay. Do you know the bad thing is I can't actually remember. Josh Smith.
Good start. Josh, what bridge was it?
Yeah. That was Blackfriars, yes. I remember him well. what was the landmark? there was a guy, I fancied him for ages at university. And he didn't, I don't think he really fancied me. And anyway, we were friends and it went on for quite a long time where I was trying to pull him. And everyone knew that I fancied him and he wasn't really up for it. And then I got a boyfriend and obviously then he decided he fancied me.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, classic.
So it never happened at uni. Then he got into a relationship for like 4 or 5 years. Lived in London, but we never really crossed paths. And then my boyfriend got deported, genuinely true story.
Deported to where?
El Salvador. that's another story.
It sounds like a lafare.
We will be getting into that one after.
Please return. Join us.
Yeah.
In about 20 minutes.
Join us for the deportation. on Valentine's Day.
Can you make a note of that, Phoebe? Yeah. Can you make a note of that? I want to get back to that.
He genuinely got deported on Valentine's Day.
Oh, this is like deported to El Salvador on Valentine's Day.
Honestly,
this is
true.
This is romantic.
Yeah.
I think something disgusting's going to come up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
there's the romance bit out of the way now.
There's the nice bit. I was in a bad place, but actually the relationship ended very, very well and it was fine. Right. Anyway, so he got deported, so I was single.
Yeah.
And then I bumped into Josh at a weird like press event thing. Yeah. For work, and he'd just split up with his girlfriend literally that week, and my boyfriend had just got deported, and I was like, finally the stars are aligning, we can get together, because there'd been this like 6 year build up at this point, right?
Every cloud,
exactly. He was like, do you want to go to a bridge or so we were at this thing anyway. Then he was like, we should get a drink. We couldn't hang out that night because we were working and stuff. And then he was like, we should get a drink in the week. And I was like, yeah, brilliant. And me and my friend have this phrase and we say, I accidentally shagged him on the Tuesday, right? To mean, you know, when you're building up to something
like
and you sort of, you've both like agreed to like meet and have a proper date. Yeah. And then you inevitably get sort of pissed at something else and just hook up instead of having the proper night. And basically I had a date with this guy that I'd fancied for ages on a Wednesday once. And my mate called me on the Wednesday morning and she was like, you excited for your date tonight? And I was like, I accidentally shagged him last night. She was like, shagged him on the Tuesday. And it's happened to multiple people.
It does sound like a game show. Like,
shagged him on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Watch it.
Like, you're not going to end up going out with them when you accidentally shagged them on a Tuesday, are you? But anyway, so that's what happened. So we'd agreed to go for a drink the next week. But my mate was having... by the way, I've only got one female friend and she's the same friend in all these stories.
She's the one you lied to?
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
So she's had she was having this massive house party. And it was, you know, I was like 26. Yeah, 26, 27. It was debaucherous. It was insane. Everybody was there that you'd ever met. He was down the road texting me. He was off his face as well. And I was like, come to this party.
Tuesday?
No. Sorry. The phrase accidentally shagged him on a Tuesday means you've planned something nice and then you've ruined it before you've got the chance to do the thing.
Game show idea.
Yeah, the game show idea. Yeah. And so anyway, I was like, come to this party. He was like, brilliant. He was only down the road. So he came. He was smashed. I was smashed. We started getting off with each other all around this house party like teenagers. Because it was...
How old are you?
Like 26, 27.
Oh, old enough to know better, Alex.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
But still young enough now that it was like 8 years.
And you just mature into blowjobs on a bridge.
Yeah. If only
Look
he
at
knew.
Her now. Look at her now. She's...
I know. I literally say to my mate all the time, like, oh, at least it's Freshers Week. Oh, no, wait. I'm in my 30s. So we're at this party, getting off each other. Anyway, so he's just split up with his girlfriend. So he's living on his friend's couch, like, because it was literally that week.
He's class.
While he got a place. Yeah. And I was living with my friends at the time, like, for 2 months in between flats in their spare room, and they had a kid. So they were like, the only rule is, which is totally fair, like, don't bring anyone back. Like, go to theirs, which usually you could do.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, that's fine. Anyway, so neither of us had anywhere to go.
Yeah.
And anyway, in our logic, we start being like, well, where can we do it at this party? And somebody literally said, go home, because like the party was dying and we were
people.
Yeah, we were like trying to,
trying to clear up.
Yeah.
They're trying to find a place to shag.
He's like,
come on, I'm trying
to. They were like, my mate, got a bin bag out now. Honestly, my mate shouted out the window, like, go home, Alex. Because she could hear us being like, you think we could probably do whatever. Anyway, so, oh God, I had this satchel on my shoulder. And while I was.
Everything you do is like. Like, oh, here she is, the girl with a satchel on a bike.
There's always some random throwaway comment that's actually like a whole story. Yeah.
Every time you get involved in any sort of sexual experience, you look like a little...
Like a little Victorian child.
No, yeah, like what's what I call it, an evacuee. Yeah. Like in a little... Like in a little, with a little satchel and your gas mask on a bike.
I did look like an evacuee. I had a little denim dress on and socks and sandals, honestly. I'm like, you know, I've got like the sluttiest stories, but I'm always dressed as like a little boy.
William, goodnight, Mr. Tom. They're X-rated.
Yeah.
Alex Haddo version.
Honestly, it's like an ITV Sunday night drama, but with head.
I'd watch it.
Yeah. Imagine if Heartbeat had had blowjobs. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
That would have been fun for all the family.
Good. Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Heartbeat after dark. Like Hollyoaks late night. Yeah. Somebody's sucking off the village vet. Anyway, so what am I?
On a lovely bridge with a little babbling brook.
Oh, lovely.
While John Thor looks on. Oh, what a lovely Sunday evening.
Exactly. Yeah. I would watch that. Yeah. You know. Oh, yeah, sorry. So we're trying to find a fun place to do it. And anyway, we're thinking, oh, probably given up, okay, because there's nowhere to do
good
it.
Good idea.
And her flat was, so it was one of those flats that's above a shop. So there was the shop there. And then you have the door by the side of the shop and then a little corridor and it goes along and up to the flat, right?
Who's the place where you live?
My friend's house party.
Oh, the house party, right, yeah.
So we've sort of given up by this point and we're like, right, we're just going to have to go home separately because I was staying with my friend.
He's gutted at this point.
Yeah.
He's thinking,
Yeah.
So close to telling all my mates about this.
In your 30s, you'd probably be like, let's just get a hotel. But in your 20s, you skin and So we're walking down the stairs into the long corridor before the door, which is on the street. And it suddenly dawns on me in the corridor. I'm like, nobody's here. By the way, there's the dying embers of the house party still going on.
Yeah.
And in the corridor, I was like, I don't know what my plan was, but I was like, we could just do it here.
What sort of corridor? When you say corridor?
Like, the sort of, so there's the stairs down from the flat and then the corridor along.
Oh, so like the communal, the communal.
Yeah, so there's nobody in it. It goes out, to, you know, the corridor out to the street and then the flat is above.
Right, okay, right, yeah.
So I was like, we'll just do it here, okay? Yeah. But I was quite rightfully always very paranoid about STIs, and I was thinking, safety first. Yeah. So we're getting off like an absolute porn film.
So safety first, because she's a little evacuee. Gas mask.
Yeah, you think I mean condom. It's a gas mask.
Just a siren.
Hazmat suit.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. That was... Oh, God. Why am I such a... Dude, just do it in a bed. Anyway, right.
Slightly little evacuee.
I know. That is my brand now, actually, yeah.
It's the porn side of people.
Yeah, yeah. Evacuee porn. Want to take me to the country for the weekend? So I'm in the corridor and I'm thinking, and I've got my bag still on my shoulder, and I'm thinking, we'll just do it here.
Yeah.
I'll put a condom on him because I don't know where he's been.
There you go.
I'm fully dressed and I have a condom in my satchel and I take it out and he is, and I cannot stress this enough, so flaccid. There's nothing going on there.
I'm on his side.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely fine. Also, the man has just been snogging me and suddenly... Anyway, I tried to then put a condom on a flaccid man. And you know, like when you're putting a pillow in a pillowcase and it's like flopping about all over the place and you can't get it on because there's not enough, like... it's not turgid enough. Like the pillow is, you know, everywhere and you're trying to like stuff it in. That was very much his experience with me trying to wrestle, I would say.
In a corridor.
A condom. In a corridor of a house party. Trying to wrestle
like
it on.
Yeah, fluorescent.
It was just, there was nothing happening whatsoever. And then we just sort of both, he was like, what are you doing? Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to do it here. Anyway, and he's then going, you know, I think we should probably leave this.
And then he took you to the train station and waved you off. From a platform up to the north.
A single tear.
While he goes off to fight Germany.
I'll write you. God, why am I like this?
Oh, God.
Anyway.
You're painting a lovely picture of yourself.
I know, honestly. This podcast is going to be... Please put this behind a paywall. And then you know that scene in Friends where Rachel and Ross get married and they both go out the door separately? That's what happened.
We
never saw each other again.
You didn't see each other again?
It never
happened. Josh, you didn't know his number?
Josh. He's now called Condom Josh in my circle of friends. And when I was talking about going on this podcast, I was like, what do you think's, you know, the stupidest thing I've ever done when I've been pissed? And everyone was like, you've got to do Condom Josh. Just wrestling a condom onto a flaccid man in a public hallway. And then, honest to God, my mate the next day was like, because that party was massive, and I don't do drugs like everybody else in the world does.
Yeah.
And probably should after these stories, actually.
Yeah, I think here we go.
Yeah. And,
can't get any worse.
Yeah. Might save me a bit, to be fair. And my best mate called me the next day, and she went, oh, God, one of those druggy animals obviously shagged in my corridor because there's a condom in it. And I was like, oh, same pal, honestly. And I went, that was me. She was like, huh. I was like, that was me. She was like, what is wrong with you?
I think we should have had your friend here.
Yeah, actually, sort of
It's just like, I feel sorry for her. Like,
she's honestly just had a book deal literally today. She's just announced it. So Natalie Cawley.
Natalie Cawley.
She's a psychologist.
Yeah, you're a project. I mean, your friend, like, she has a duty of care.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. Like, she feels responsible. Like,
I get it all free. That's why I'm friends with her. Honestly, the debt I would have racked up if I had to pay for the shit she has to put up with.
Is she really sort of level-headed then? Is she?
Oh, no.
Oh, she's not.
No,
she's got a mental
side
as well.
She's the same, yeah.
Ooh.
But she's not a public shagger. Yeah, yeah. if you're listening, that's fun. She's not a public shagger. No, but she's just as bad in different ways.
Yeah.
Sometimes she'll call me and, you know, there's... Times were. In fact, I won't go into her stuff because that's.
We'll get her on. And then what we'll do, we'll get her on and then we'll psychoanalyze everything
exactly,
afterwards.
Yeah, I think that's
a good thing. I love the way these. I feel like it's like I'm.
I feel like they're really similar, but.
Yeah, it's like I've stitched you up. I feel like.
I know. Is there any question that's like, what's the nicest thing you've ever done for charity?
No, they're all pretty awful, and I feel like I've got to rethink it.
No, it's fine. I mean, I agreed to come on. I knew what was going on.
To be honest, this is perfect. I mean, it's called Get to the Good Stuff. This is like, don't hold back.
Oh, you want the really buzzer, don't you?
I was even thinking we could do like a drunk edition of this podcast.
Mm.
But I feel like this is the level we're getting to.
That's great.
On a in the morning time with water.
Yeah.
It's the morning. This is what I'm struggling with.
We'll get Alex in. She can cycle over. Yeah. With her little bag. Come on.
And a certain little top hat.
A couple of like gin mixes in a satchel.
Lisa, can I have a blowjob?
I think because I've got like worse questions coming. I feel like,
oh God,
it's about getting to the good stuff. I feel sometimes you need a bit. I might start to talk about the weather.
Yeah.
Was they called like a palate cleanser?
Yeah.
Just a little
quite
bit.
Quite rainy
like,
today.
Yeah.
Not
God, traffic's bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh God. Anyway.
It was the worst traffic jam you've ever been in.
Well, I did a traffic jam once, giving a blowjob. And this is so explicit. Bloody
hell. Oh, God.
Right.
Oh, no.
What is the worst thing you've ever done for money?
This doesn't involve a public fellatio.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Yay!
Is it sexual?
No.
Whoa, here we go. This could be our palate cleanser then.
It could be, if you know, I'm not kink shaming. When I was a student, my friend called me up. She was like, do you want 100 quid to work a bar at a festival tomorrow? I was like, yes, absolutely, 100 quid. 20,000 years ago when I was a student was a lot of money, still is. She was like, right, meet when I was interning in like fashion at the time and all this. And in fact, I was getting paid no money in an internship to like box baubles up from a Christmas shoot. And I was calling my best mate and I was like, oh, I'm not getting paid for it. I'm fucking boxing baubles up and sending them back to M&S. And she was howling. She was like, what is your life? You went in to like work for Vogue.
And
you somehow like boxing baubles for the Evening Standard.
Did
anyway.
did you work in fashion or did you just study it?
Well, I worked as a picture editor at fashion magazines. Oh. So that was my old life. It was all right. Just like... a lot of the people were fun. I worked in like magazines and media.
Is it like
I still do, but like proper fashion people just weren't. They're not got a lot of sense of humour about them.
Is it like what's the film?
Devil Wears Prada.
Is it like that?
Some places are. Not all. Some places are really fine. Like I still work for Sunday Times Style. That's great. Everyone's there. Everyone there is really nice.
Because I do get that impression of the who's the main one? The Glenn.
Oh, Meryl Streep. Anna Wintour.
Yeah. That's based on a real person, is it?
Yeah. Anna Wintour's the editor of US Vogue.
And she's really like that.
She's
it?
A dragon. Wow. Anna, if you're listening, hello.
And she still works. She's still about.
It was her assistant that wrote the book.
So the film changed it.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Like, yeah.
Do you know what? That was one of the things when my missus put it on. I was like, all right, watching this fucking shit.
Yeah, you know, but I bet
he likes it. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. This is fantastic. It's so charming.
This woman is going through an awful time.
I really, I think my missus got bored.
Yeah. she went off and watched the footage.
Yeah. This is so good. Really good.
Yeah, it's great.
I do that with a few shows that... I ain't watching this crap, and I always end up. Yeah. I loved the first few Love Islands.
Oh,
next month.
I got well into it, but hey, I have gone off it
already.
Yeah,
Jesus,
it's summer again, baby.
It's the last few. I have got a bit. It's got a bit repetitive. So since the lockdown, I thought it's not as good. But I know it is like contrived and drama. I do like the drama.
I got really addicted that year. Nathan and Cara won it.
That was really the year addicted. I got addicted.
And then ever since then, I've cut myself off because it takes over your life.
Mm. It does. No, my one was with the... I couldn't sleep when Dr. Alex was getting bullied. Did you see that?
Oh, I heard about it.
Oh, he was trying... Oh, no. I just felt... You just want to give someone a cuddle.
I'm thinking of like an ITV advert where it's like, can't sleep, money worries. Cost of living crisis. And you're like, no, Dr. Alex is getting bullied on Love Island.
Poor thing. He slept with my mate at the top of on a landing at a party.
Oh, well, fuck him then.
Was it you, Alex? Yeah.
He's got a thing for a little evacuees. Alex, I've heard about that. But no, because the thing is with him, I think I can sort of relate to it. Because you've been in one of them situations where all your mates are pulling and you're not.
Oh, yeah.
That is a horrible,
I know that doesn't sound
feeling.
Like it from this podcast, but that happens to me a lot.
Oh, no, because it, like I said before, my younger, I was just the clown.
Yeah.
Happy to make a prat of myself. Do you know what I mean? That was me. And then, because I think what you'd do, you'd think, well, all the other boys are going to do well. I'll just be the prick.
The funny one.
Yeah, who just does that. And that's when I was in my unbearable days.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it meant. And that's why when Dr. Alex and everyone's around him, like, and even like, go on little dates and they'd go, no, I don't like him. And it's just that thing of...
I can't deal with like first dates and stuff, you know, when one of them at the end is like, oh no, I wouldn't see them again. I'm like, just say yes on the show. Also, I auditioned for First Dates and I got the TV interview and I was going to be on it. And then they said, we can't find anyone to match you. So literally First Dates, couldn't find me a date.
I
did the TV recording and everything. And then they were like, this man doesn't exist that you want.
We can't trust her. Just put her anywhere near is the restaurant near a bridge? Because she... And up next is Alex from up the north.
Up the north.
On a bike. She turned up on her bike.
Up north.
Hey, I got my bike.
I just had my tin back.
I got my satchel and bike.
Got a brilliant bag.
No, but it was that. I had that. I always had that feeling. It's like you being last picked for the team.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to have that. When I had to go through this phase of when I was younger, being like, I was fat.
Were you?
When I was about like in my early teens. But also like I was into David Beckham, so I wanted like long hair.
I
had long hair and tits. Right, so...
Oh, I'm half there.
But I remember I was playing football, right, and this bloke with these lads, and he weren't being horrible, He genuinely said that. He goes, "You're really good at football for a girl." Thought I was a little girl.
Oh.
That was a horrible, that moment of just like.
Don't worry, everyone says I'm a little boy. So.
There was a, I remember that feeling. I was just, and they put me last. And they put me last. And I remember once as well, when I had full football kit on. You know, you really, really white. Not a stain on it. Got picked last. And then,
well,
and
the bullies are listening now. Look at him now. No, 40,000 Instagram followers.
It was me and my two cousins. We was like, 12, 13, and there was a group of bigger boys, like three of us, and we all had to pair off and go like one bigger boy with one little boy.
Aww.
And my two cousins went over there, and the bigger boys went to the other bigger boy. Oh, you've got him. And he genuinely went like this. Oh, for fuck's sake.
And
I went, oh. That was a horrible thing. Sorry, that went a bit.
I think that makes us more empathetic as adults, though.
It does.
When stuff like that happens.
That's it.
The school bully never does well, do they?
I think that was the turning point when you think, then you realise you can make people laugh.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, that'll be my thing.
That's your currency then.
And that was it. And then, so I was always all right with the cool kids.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the
I was always
kids.
Friends with everybody. I wasn't popular, but I wasn't a nerd.
I think funny people can
pals.
Do that.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think that's how you get by, innit?
Yeah. You're sort of out the like hierarchy.
Really funny, but just deep trauma.
Yeah.
Hey. So anyway, sorry, we got sidetracked.
No, it's fine.
Ball balls.
Oh yes, sorry. I was interning someone. He said, "Do you want to earn 100 quid?" Yes. Doing a bar at a festival. Anyway, it's through an agency. We get there, and they said, "Oh, you need your artist passes." So we're like, "What?" We're thinking, "Oh, maybe that's just what the bar staff get." So we got an artist wristband, artist lanyard. Which may have, come to think of it, fueled my love of boys in bands from then until now. And so anyway, and it's at this festival called Shambhala Festival in Northamptonshire that at the time was like quite a secret festival. You know, it was kind of like...
What sort of music was that?
Very eclectic, very hippie. There was a lot of shrooms going on.
Okay, I was going to say, it's very
hippie
place,
and shroomy and like, you know, people very spacey, like proper old school hippies. You know, people that like... They just look like they go just festival to festival.
They
don't live in the real world. Kind
I quite
of
like that though.
I'm not going to be one people. Of them. Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to be one of them sort of.
Yeah,
I mean? I've always thought because I've got kids. Because you see them at festivals.
But
they take their kid and they sort of anything. Them kids are either going to grow up really like level-headed or a bit fucked up.
Yeah, it's going to be one or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you want a bit of stability. You don't want to be doing shrooms with your own mum, do you? Do you know what I mean? Not again.
Not all the time.
So anyway, we get there and then they were like, okay, so. You're with Rosie and the Goldbugs. That was what they were called, this band. We were like, oh, are we working their bar? They said, no, you're the Goldbugs. We were like, what?
What?
And I'm not joking. I'll send the picture when you put this podcast up. They give us these gold spandex onesies that are our faces are just like in a little hole.
But you'd agree to
work the bar?
Work the bar.
Right? And we're like, what? And these were not new. These gold spandex things. God. So like they'd obviously given them to like people that were volunteering at every festival they'd been to. Anyway, these things are like, you know, skin tight. We look like morph. Okay, so they were like, yeah, so if you just want to get changed, we're like, what is going on?
But at this point, were you still thinking, I'll still be serving drinks or something?
Yeah, we were like thinking like maybe we just have to work the bar in these. Yeah. Like what the hell? Anyway, so we put them on. We look ridiculous. I'll send you the picture after this because it's like way back in my Facebook or something. And so we're like, okay. And they were like, so what you need to do is, so Rosie and the Goldbugs are on the, you know, shroom stage at 3 o'clock. You have to go around skipping to everybody and like promote the fact that we're on at three. So like Rosie and the Goldbugs, 3 o'clock on the main stage. And then they went, and then of course for the dancing, like when we're on, you'll be the dancers on stage. And we were like, sorry, what? And they were like, yeah, so you'll just be sort of at the front. Just go with your instincts. Go with your instincts.
Who's,
like,
who's booked you for this?
A bar, like a staffing agency. Yeah, yeah. There must have been a mix-up somewhere. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway.
And who was you with? So you were,
my friend Becca.
You've a friend?
Yeah. My friend Becca, who you met in Brighton, actually, that came to Matt Richardson's show.
Oh, yeah.
That's my friend from home.
Oh, okay,
she's from Corby as well. And honest to God, we were just like, what the hell? And we were skipping. We were sober. It was like, you know, the day. And we were skipping around and we had to be like, Rosie and the Goldbugs, 3 o'clock. And all these hippies are literally thinking they're tripping and we're not real. And then we have to get on the bloody stage and like do this whole, like, and it was the maddest day because I just woken up that day thinking like, I'm going to do a bar shift. And all of a sudden I'm on a main stage at a pretty big festival.
Yeah, I thought you just went with it as well.
In a gold spandex. I think that was the precursor to being a comedian. Just like, yeah, get up there. Yeah, all right, I'll do it. Yeah, you know, fine. Yeah.
And we're there, and we just, I remember just it, you know, we're coming off and they're like, thanks so much. And they were lovely people, like they were great. And the music was great as well. And then we just sort of, me and Becca just got in our car and like drove back home, got a takeaway, and we just went, that was a surreal day.
What the fuck just happened?
She's got paid 100 quid to be a...
I gave you 100 quid.
A gold spandex bug.
And you got the spandex, you get to keep the spandex?
No. Ah. That went on to the next poor sod that was like, oh, I'll be serving gin and tonics and actually...
Were you completely sober as well?
Completely sober. I think we should have done shrooms, to be honest, to really get in the vibe.
No routine or anything, just give it a go.
Just go and just...
Do what you want.
Yeah, on either side of the stage.
That's hand, like, well done.
I've done some pretty weird jobs, but I think that is up there.
Because I find that thing awkward when you... I did that once. And this is fairly recently. It was near Christmas. Because, you know, like, on TikTok and I and that, so you get opportunities
coming your way. Yeah.
And, like, you know, you want to start, you know, making a bit of money out of it. You know? Mm-hmm. So I got this offer to go and do... They do this thing on TikTok called, like, TikTok... it's like QVC.
Oh, okay.
So I did that. And... But I didn't really know. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what I was doing. They sort of put me in this sort of studio.
Yeah.
And it was going to do a live feed on my phone. I didn't. And then they just give me items for 3 hours, while I
3 hours. That is a long time. Yeah.
And they just give me like a laptop. Then I've got to try and set. And I thought, you know, comedy. I'll just make jokes and just lark about.
You can
just
kind
do a bit of improv.
Yeah
that
exactly.
Sort
yeah.
of thing.
And was it like, was it a decent fee? Like, well, I mean, like don't worry, you'd have to say the fee. I just mean like,
well, no,
it was
a tempting amount of money, but I didn't get the money. I'll explain why I didn't get paid in the end, right? but then the day before, because I wanted to look good, got a sunbed, right?
Jack Skipper.
I was on it far too long. I was
in
burnt.
The year of our Lord.
I was burnt, which made me feel very, I felt very burnt eyelids.
I've been on the surface of the sun.
Yeah. I thought I was gonna look like some sort of Latin lover, but I looked like just some lobster.
Pretty broad.
Yeah. I looked bloody awful. So that was already, but then you got loads of lights on you, so I was really hot as well, sweating. And then you just got these, they're just all Brazilian, these people that were in the studio. There's all, like, so I had about 6 Brazilian people around me. Right, I didn't have my glasses either because they was holding up prompters on a screen for me to read, and I couldn't read it.
Is that because you couldn't read? Full stop.
Excuse me, love.
I didn't have my glasses, burnt eyelids. It was a bit hot. Oh my god. Oh yeah, and then I was dying for a wee, and I was like, all right, before we start, can I have a wee during the break? No, there's no break. You have to go. I was like, why am I going? There's no talk. Oh,
3 hours.
Yeah, I didn't even go for a wee, and then
I'm Jack Skipper, and I'm weeing.
It was so cringy and just so awkward, and I'm just like, how much can you say about? And then they was giving me like beauty products to sell,
honestly, when you know when you come in pissed from a night out and you QVC is just on sometimes,
yeah,
you're like
that,
and you do think it's live, and you're thinking, God, this is an actual skill to be able to just chat
100%
shit for like an iron about an hour,
also what's happening because you're on the live, and then they give you a phone here, so you look at the phone. And because comments will come through, like they'll say, people will be asking, how much is this? And then and I thought, well, I can answer that. That's not what the comments were. The comments were trolls abusing me, right? While I was like, camera in my face.
It's the bigger boys thing again.
Yeah. 6 Brazilian people looking at me, can't read the screen. So it'd be like, Chloe says, how much is this? Well, they're $4.99. Ryan says, you're a cunt.
Thank you, Ryan.
So, and it was all like 80% just abuse. You fucking sellout. These are $9.99.
That's horrible.
3 hours. You know, you just like.
Why didn't you get paid though?
Because I said, I spoke to the bloke who booked it for me. I said, I ain't fucking doing that again.
Yeah.
So I'll take the money from this one because I booked in to do three of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I ain't doing that again. Yeah. And he said, no worries, it's, you know, you don't want to do it. But the contract was you have to do all of them.
Oh, for God's sake.
To get paid, so it was just complete...
I had a similar thing recently, but I did actually get paid for it, where I was hired as a host of a bottomless brunch. Have you done this?
No.
Are you about to slag off
Vox? No, it's not Vox.
I was like, Alex.
No. So I thought, before I did it, I thought that's what it was. I thought it was a comedy show. And I was there, and they were like, "Oh, you're kind of the host."
So
IMC.
Because I hear bottomless brunch, and then what are they?
Just like, you know, you pay a set amount, and it's unlimited booze for 3 hours while you eat or whatever.
Okay, right.
Like, you know, you have eggs on toast.
So in a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay.
So I'm not a cool person at all. I like India, like Britpop.
Fashion.
you know, fashion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm very uncool. However, I felt like the coolest person in the world going to this event, because basically, it was in a restaurant in Birmingham, and it was day. I can't express how light it was. It was complete daylight. It was like 12 o'clock, okay? Yeah. Everybody in there looked like they were from Love Island. I was dressed like an evacuee, as per.
On brand.
Yeah, so on brand. And they were playing, like, it was Spice Girls themed, so some of them were dressed as Spice Girls.
Midday.
Uh-huh. And then the sound system, there was a DJ, there was a brunch DJ.
Yeah.
The sound system was louder than death. it was honestly like he had an amp like this, like a proper like house music. He was like a house DJ, but he was doing like really cheesy. It was like Oceana threw up on itself, right? And I was like, what am I doing here? Because the music was on and these people were like drinking luminous blue drinks like there was a gun to their head. Like, honestly, like downing it. I was like, you'd never catch the French doing this.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. And then they were like, so you're just basically the host, so you've got to go around and hype them up. And I literally, I've
what
never...
Sorry.
It doesn't work. But honestly, they didn't really know what I needed to do. I think
you just had a microphone. And
I just had a mic and they were like, you know, go around, like rip the piss out of themselves. I was like, no, they don't know this is happening. You know, like, they've not come for comedy. This isn't a thing. And it's the only time in my life ever, you know, we've, as comedians, you do weird gigs and you end up just being like, right, just do it. Yeah. And I literally said, no.
Yeah, you said that.
Right. And I just stayed and observed. As in, I wasn't being a twat. I was just like, that won't work if I go and slag off loads of women. Mm. If it was men, it might sort of work.
Well, that's, like, it's because it's just confusing because no one's there. They're not looking at the stage.
It's not, they're not. You know, I don't know what they wanted me to do, but it was one of those things, like you say, where you're just like, I can't do this. Yeah. This is awful.
And how long did they want you to do it for?
It was like 3 hours it was supposed to be. But I think I left and said I had a train after an hour and a half. But I was like flabbergasted. The people after an hour and a half were like one of those Channel 4 documentary drunk. Like shit-faced. It's lunch. Like they've been drinking. There's like Hindus and people were dancing on tables and chairs at like 1:30 and somebody puked. Like it was absolutely, I've never seen anything like it.
It does sound like Vauxhall, to be fair.
Yeah. But you're trying to like get your new bit out about like, you know, being dressed as an evacuee and people are puking. Yeah.
You could have just gone non-stand-up, though, and just give it a oogie, oogie, oogie.
I kind of did a bit of that. I wasn't being
you started.
Did a bit of, like, you know, hyping up.
Yeah.
I couldn't do jokes. Like, you know, it was just one of those surreal things you're like, what am I doing?
I think you have to have a limit. Because when you get asked to do things, I think you have to have a limit of... I think the further you go on as well,
and it takes a while to learn that.
Yeah. You get the further it goes on, you do get that feeling of... I can't be doing like because I think when you're, especially with stand-up, when you first start, you think, I'm gonna do everything because everything is an experience and it's learning. But sometimes when you've had that experience, you know it's shit, you don't need to do it again.
Yeah,
it's that sort of thing. Yeah. Like, you know, it's just gonna be exactly. You've got somewhere. And like, I mean, the early gigs of like, I'm still in it really now with my stand-up. Like, I've just turned up places not knowing what to expect, and you get there and it's like just nothing.
Yeah,
no one, and not even, you're like, what is this? Like, it's taking me ages to get here.
Yeah,
and there's like no one there.
Yeah, it's then, mad.
That's just weird. And I think, I'm sorry, I used to see it. I did a gig, I won't say where, but like, it was one of the ones where it was like just a badly run over my gig. And I watched one, we were just waiting for one more act, and he walked in and went, nah. just turned around, and I thought, fair play to that geezer.
That is incredible.
Just looked at him.
The energy.
Yeah, just like, nah. No. Not doing that.
Not for me.
That's that confident energy that I need to get some more of that.
Have you ever done a mixed bill gig where it's like not all comedians? So it's like, you know, they decide they're going to have a variety night. And obviously they don't think about the order of who's going where. And I did a gig for the Humanist Society years ago. And it was, again, it was like daylight. They hadn't blacked out. I was in, it was like evening, but it was summer.
Yeah.
You know, a dangerous time for me, as we all know.
And summertime.
Yeah.
Always risky. Catch her in the winter.
There was a, hibernating.
Yeah.
they'd had a folk singer on before me. There was no MC. I was doing my first ever 20. Getting paid like a decent amount.
Yeah.
And I'm quite new at it. And honest to God, the woman before me, the last line of her last song was like, it was her on a guitar. You know that music that's so quiet and still that people don't even clap in between? It's just like the reverence of like after a song. And I'm thinking, Oh my God.
You go
I've got to go and do 20 minutes of knob gags after this. Fingering jokes. And and honestly, like, her last line was like, ring and they all die. I'm thinking, what the fuck? They haven't thought this through. And then the guy just comes on and goes, and now we have a comedian. And obviously I died on my ass in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I remember I did one, this was quite early on, and I got to the gig and I was feeling quite confident early on.
Because
all you've done is like easy gigs. And you think like, oh, I've got my five.
Yeah, like
I've got my
everyone's five. Supporting yeah, their yeah, friends.
I know what I'm doing here now. I've got this nailed.
Excuse me.
And but there's this guy, and I got there and he was like, oh, you're Jessica. I've heard a lot about you. And I was like, well, watch this. Fucking died on my ass. Just like absolute silence.
Comedy is a great humbler.
Just fidgety. I want to go. I don't like this. So, but it's the weird thing about doing comedy is that you keep coming back, don't you? No, that.
Yeah, you're basically in an abusive relationship with comedy. Yeah.
Why do it? It's horrible.
It's because when it goes well, it's the best thing.
It is.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah.
Can we talk about it some more?
Yeah. You did it. It's now a comedy podcast. Yeah.
I did a thing where this happened to me because I talk about being a carpet fitter on stage.
Yeah.
And I always judge my. Do you always judge a gig by if people come up to you afterwards? You know you've done well. People they make a big love and they want to shake your hands and all that.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I don't know if that went that well. And then I saw this bloke making his way over to me. I was like, oi, oi, here he is.
Oh, no.
And he went, "Mate, I need a couple of bedrooms doing, mate. can I have your number?" I was like, oh, fuck. Just wanted his carpets.
Oh, my God. I was wearing this vintage coat that was my mum's from the 80s or something. And I thought I looked the absolute shit, right? Yeah. And I was in like strappy heels, this big coat. I was in Manchester in a bar and I thought I was the absolute shit, right? And I was out with my mate Tommy. Who's like from Lee and a rugby player and all that. Yeah. And he stood with me and this guy like makes a beeline for me from across the bar. Oh, and I cringed so much and I went to Tommy, here we go. And he's coming over, comes over and he goes, why are you wearing a fucking dressing gown? Tommy went, I watch.
That's good. This is what you've done it to. You've done yourself up there.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
If you'd just been quiet, going, here we go. Yes.
My friend did it as well at a really fancy party that we were at, and she really fancied this guy. And she went to me. She's not like this usually. Same friend, by the way. I hardly have one friend. And she went, watch this. And she walked over and it was like a swanky film party for our friend's film and everything. And she went over and her plan in her head was to like stalk over and like put her arm around this guy and then just start pulling him because she'd got the vibe from him. Anyway, she put her arm up to like pull him in and he went, oh, are you going? She was like, no. What if you wanted a drink? The worst thing ever of this that I did was I was campaigning for the Lib Dems back when they were cool. My boyfriend worked for them. I was about to say,
from El Salvador. We didn't go back to that.
Oh, yeah. I've had sex in the Houses of Parliament as well. That's my trump card.
What? Why have you brought this up with 5 minutes?
Make more notes, Phoebe. You've got El Salvador to get through and Parliament. So come on, time's time. You've got to get.
one of the questions, I think I didn't pick it, but most embarrassing. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's the tiny minutia, things like that, and like going in for a kit. Oh, awful.
Yeah.
I was campaigning for him anyway. The tension had built. I'll keep this quick. Tension had built because like the election was coming up, and it was like, oh, maybe the Tories aren't going to get in, and Nick Clegg was having that moment. I agree with Nick. Do you remember that glimmer of hope? Anyway, it's a frenzy, basically. And the head of the council, this was up in Manchester, was there. And he was like, he was there on the last day. We were like, this is the big push and everything. We were all kind of in it together. And it was a cold day. And I walked in to the office and he went like this. And I went, woo!
Yeah.
And he went, shut the door. And I know it doesn't sound that bad, but I just, physically, I was like.
they're the worst ones for me. That's what I'm saying. Oh. We said it the other week, didn't we? Like, shitting yourself falling over. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's them little ones where you go. Keep you awake at night.
Anyway, that was the worst. The assumption thing. So yeah, awful. Just like, watch this.
Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, I've just been.
My brother's got a good one. My brother's like me. He's a carpet fitter.
Oh yeah.
And he was. I'll tell his story. I find it funny. But he just went. It's only one of the little ones as well.
Is this your brother that got lost on your stag?
That's him. Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to get him as a guest on the podcast. Yeah. Actually, he's got. I'll need a book like 3 hours for that.
Yeah.
But he was getting his haircut, and the barber went to him. What do you do for a living? And my brother went, I'm a carpet fitter. What about you? Cutting his hair. He's like, he just said he watched, because he's got a mirror in front of you.
Yeah.
Just watched himself go red. Just watching himself.
I go so red, and it makes it so much worse. And if anyone points it out, they're horrible.
Yeah.
Everyone goes red.
Because I'm ginger as well. Yeah. Everyone's like, you've gone the same colour as your hair. And I'm like, yeah, great. Thank you. That's really helping the situation.
The thing is about going red, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, and it makes it worse.
So it's like...
It's a domino effect.
It gets worse and worse.
Right, Alex, we have 3 minutes.
Sorry.
El Salvador, hit us.
I was going out with this guy from El Salvador. He was absolutely lovely, if he's listening, but it didn't work out.
How long were you together?
About a year, and I wanted to break up with him. So it was great, actually, because I'm not very good at confrontation. I'm awful at finishing with someone. I'll stay with someone for a year out of politeness, honestly.
So you called the portal.
So, yes, some anonymous call. No, I didn't.
He's getting dragged out.
Yeah.
Bye, baby. Miss you.
I'm already on Tinder. Yeah, and so basically, he was like, "Oh my god, my visa didn't get renewed," and I was like, "Oh, drat."
Oh, like, bugger.
That sounds awful, but he was a lovely guy. But just you know, we weren't right for each other, and then he got deported on Valentine's
Day. Little surprise for you now, Alex.
He's in. He's on Tower Bridge waiting.
There is. Meet you on the bridge. Oh, right. Do we have to cover something else? Oh, we ain't got time for the Parliament thing.
That's basically it. Oh, just did it in Parliament.
There you go, did it in Parliament. But yeah, we can elaborate on the next. You can come on again.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get into
Patreon. Yeah, there you go.
Big Ben.
But it's been another cracker. I've enjoyed this.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Follow Alex on Instagram.
Yes.
What's your...
Alexandra Haddo.
Alexandra Haddo.
Yeah.
Follow. Do that.
Thank you for coming on.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.